This week on The Interview, we talk with Milenko, the art director for Strange Loop Games, about their new release, Vessel. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Interview with Q. I'm your host, Q. Today we have Milenko, the art director for Strange Loop Games, on their new release, Vessel. Welcome to The Interview.
Hello.
Great to have you on.
Great to be here.
It's a very, very interesting looking game, Vessel is. But before we get started really talking about Vessel, can you give us a little bit of a history maybe about Strange Loop Games? Is this your guys' first release?
Yeah, it's Strange Loop's first release, but we've been together for a while now through various companies that we work together at. Sorry.
No, that's fine. So, as far as your personal history, I know you've worked with a couple other companies, but what other projects have you worked on in the past that others might recognize?
Oh yeah. Well, my career goes about 20 years back. I started as a comic artist for newspaper, like doing comic strips for newspapers. And then late 90s, I started working as a animation design artist, what they called, which is basically like a concept artist, but in the animation industry. Mm-hmm. So if there's any older people listening, I worked on designing characters and creatures and props and environments for animated TV shows like Saturday morning cartoons. The ones I worked on were back in late 90s. It was Godzilla, based on like movie that didn't do too well. Starship Troopers, Ravnica Chronicles was another thing that I was designing creatures and characters for. Then there was a Max Steel Heavy Gear.
Yeah, and, I've seen that.
somewhere in 2000, I switched to the video game world. So there was a little startup company here in Brisbane called Evolution Games. And that was the first place I started working. We ended up doing licensed title called Rocket Power, Beach Bandits, for THQ and Nickelodeon. After that one, I moved from Evolution to Pandemic Studios, and I've spent about 7 years there. I was concept artist on titles Destroy All Humans and Destroy All Humans 2. Mm-hmm. That's where I met the other members of the Strange Loop as well. Mark Filippelli, John Krajewski, and Martin Farron. Pandemic shut down first it became EA, remained EA for another year and a half, and then it shut down. I think it was March 2009 when company like Brisbane branch of Pandemic was closed. After that, I moved to another company called Chrome Studios, and I worked on one project with them. It was Legend of the Guardians, Owls of Ga'Hoole. And after that, I decided, I've spent 10 years in the industry and Strange Loop started coming together. And we all pretty much at that point in our lives were working for the big companies and just being like a little cog in this like huge machine stopped being as appealing as it used to. And we all had like stories we wanted to tell, and we all had bits and bobs that we wanted to prove and try and test, and it was just like perfect situation. We had enough people from all the aspects of game making process, so we could come together, and everybody was kind of happy and willing to sacrifice a bit of a lifestyle to actually try and do this thing.
Go ahead. If you've got more, I was just going to say that's really cool, because you've got a lot of there's a lot of things I've watched. Even when you were doing animation for that, I've seen quite a few of the things you're talking about.
Really,
I'm sure there's quite a few people that have probably seen them as well. I remember watching them when I was I don't remember how old I was then, but I mean I remember seeing them on television anyways. And I also remember a lot of the games you're talking about too, Destroy Humans. I loved those games for the PlayStation.
Awesome.
Those were great games. I just loved them. They're very cool, and I liked the artistic style of it. And you said you did concept art for that.
Yeah. I was funny enough back in those days, because industry is changing. When I entered the industry, you had to be jack of all trades. Like if you were an artist, you were supposed to be able to draw as well as model in 3D and do textures and like rig and animate. Mm-hmm. And then as the as the industry progressed, I guess, and teams got bigger and companies got bigger, and operating systems or consoles that we're making games for became more capable. It just wasn't plausible. But fun fact on those games, when I started working at Pandemic, Destroy All Humans 1 just started. And a friend of mine, another concept artist, was the only guy designing, doing all the concept designs for the entire game. Halfway through. Yeah. And I was initially hired at Pandemic as a 3D artist. But then halfway through Destroy All Humans 1, he decided to leave. So they just shifted me into that role. And for Destroy All Humans 1 and 2, I was the only concept artist, which cannot happen anymore for in a big company. Yeah. And I was, as a concept artist, I had the whole art team, which was about 25 people. I was catering to the needs of all of them. And it was really interesting experience when you think about it. And it's really interesting the way industry went from, a bunch of people, well, not a bunch, basically like a couple of people sitting in the garage putting together like a little game back in Amiga days and, Commodore 64 and all these, early days. Mm-hmm. Then it started progressing into this, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 and this like latest generation, where they had to turn it into an assembly line. It's kind of like similar process, because initially everybody was back in Amiga days, there was like a guy or two sitting in the garage somewhere, back room of the house, doing art and coding and putting it all together. And then art and coding and sound got separated, and then within those disciplines it kept on getting separated even further. So last couple of projects, Pandemic, after Destroy All Humans 2, we kept on rolling for another 2.5 years, and we worked on a bunch of projects, but unfortunately by the time it got shut down, Electronic Arts decided to cane them. Mm-hmm. So basically they never saw the light of the day, but that assembly line was established. So like within the art department, before you had a guy who can draw and model and rig and animate, to break it down to the point where you have a bunch of concept artists, some doing environments, the others doing characters and props and all these things. And then within 3D art, you had people doing some people just modeling props, the other people modeling characters, others doing environments. And then within that as well, you had like a texture artists, modelers, riggers, UV wrappers. So the industry, in order to progress, actually had to be broken down into these like tiny little pieces. And every little piece assigned to a different person so they can handle huge projects like Assassin's Creed all these big games coming out. Sure. That's the only way they could be made.
Yeah, with the amount of time it goes into the projects, even with the teams that they have, I can't imagine trying to only have a couple of artists on them.
Oh yeah, no, it would be impossible. But then the way the way industry is mutating at the moment and the way it's morphing and changing, Strange Loop Vessel has been made by 4 people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the span of 2 years. Well, 2 years if you count, pre-coding and preparations. But since we hit production for Vessel, it actually took about 18 months to get it to Steam. So now you have this, a mainstream big companies employing, hundreds of people, outsourcing all over the world, trying to put their stuff together on time and, get some profit in the end. And at the same time, you have like a couple of guys doing an iPhone game and making just as much money. You know, so the way industry is developing and evolving is really, really interesting. Somewhat scary as well.
Yeah, I have to say, the large studio, big budget games kind of have their place, I guess. But I like to look at the independent games like Vessel, for instance, and a few of the other ones out there, because the amount of time and effort that goes into the small teams like you guys, Strange Loops, it makes it you can tell that you guys actually care about the game itself, and it's not like an assembly line, because I think that kind of gets lost in some cases, not in all cases, because there is always people that care about the game and the story and the art. Of the game, even in the larger productions, but in the smaller ones, I think you can kind of see even down to the smaller details when there's a team of like four people like you guys. You put your blood and your sweat into it, and you can tell that it's really that you cared about the game itself.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we can do. The reason when we started with Strange Loop, it was just because everybody was pretty much at the point where being a little cog was not enough anymore. As you progress through the industry, like I've spent 10 years working for the big studios, and every time you're part of the group of people, and final decision is never yours. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, you know, really often you reach the point where nobody knows whose final decision was. So as an artist, it's somewhat frustrating because you find yourself putting a lot of effort to make somebody else happy. You know, like, particularly concept artists, you know, like you're the first kind of like first step of the process, because you are designing all these things, and then once you're finished with designing them, they passed on to the first artist, then from him to the second artist, then art director comes around and he puts his 5 cents in. So the end product of your design is not necessarily what you envisioned it to be when you were doing it. Like, you know, when I was concepting and sketching and drawing things, you know, like they don't end up looking like that in the end. You know, like, it's somebody else's decision. And the more you spend in the industry, you kind of have this feeling that you could do it better. You know, like, it's not that people doing it, are doing it poorly. It's just, you know, like, the fact that you're not in control of your own, you know, like, designs, that kind of keeps on, you know, like, building up and frustrating you. Mm-hmm. The other thing with the big studios, the biggest mistake, I mean, like, being a concept artist for a big studio, the biggest mistake you can do is, like, have emotional attachment to your artwork, because half of it will be cut by the end of the process, and, you know, like, the other half will be morphed and, you know, like, deformed by, you know, like, a bunch of other people working on it. So you have, you know, like, in order to kind of mentally, you know, like, be fine at the end of the process, you have to detach yourself from your own work. And when you're doing that, then, you know, like, you can't really put 100%, you can't put love in your work, you know, because then you end up being hurt. And I had quite a few friends, concept artists and artists in general, who, you know, like, had like a pretty chunky arguments and left the companies at the end because they didn't like the way their artwork was treated. So with a small team, I mean, Vessel himself, you know, like, working on a Vessel, there was four guys. John Krajewski and Martin Farren took care of like design and code, and it was myself and Mark Filippelli who did all the art, and we go way back, so we know each other really well. And, you know, like, working with Mark is really easy. So this time around, it was, you know, like, all the control was in our hands. You know, like, we could do anything we wanted with the artwork. We had parameters, you know, like, we had rough idea where to take it. And we knew what we wanted it to look like in the end. So all the control was in our hands. And, you know, like, people might like or hate the art style of Vessel, or, you know, like, have an opinion about it. But for us, this is kind of like ultimate judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's it, that's us. There's nobody to hide behind. Mm-hmm. The way it looks is the best we could do with time and, you know, like, resources that we had at the time. So it's really kind of different and interesting experience, but I enjoy it much more, to be honest. You know, like, we couldn't do everything we wanted to do. with the vessel because there just wasn't enough time. But on the other side of things, we definitely did the best job we could at the given time. And I look at the game, and it's, you know, like, I don't know, like, if any artists are listening to the listening to this interview, but interesting thing is that as an artist, I hate every piece, you know, like, as soon as I finish, you know, like, I draw whatever I draw, and then, like, 2 weeks later, I look at my work, and I hate every line of it, you know. And it's really hard. And even with the games like Destroy Humans and you know, like Rocket Power and the games that came after, you know, like I look at them and I play them and all I can see is my own mistakes, you know, and all I can pick on is like things I could have done better. It happens with Vessel a little bit, but I still enjoy Vessel. And that's interesting thing is, you know, like, I don't know if it means anything to anybody, but I myself can still, you know, like after 2 years of working on the game, I can still pick up controller and play Vessel for a couple hours easy. It's always fun.
I think like you were saying, it probably has something to do with the fact that you got emotionally connected with the artwork when you were doing this game. So you probably, I mean, when you can emotionally invest yourself in anything, and not even necessarily in anything to do with art or even with game development, but in anything, I think that's the same thing. Normally, a lot of people, I know that myself, whenever I do something that I like in the first place, I'll go back and watch it or listen to it a week or two later. I'm like, that was terrible. Why did I do it that way?
Yep.
So I think that's pretty common in every aspect of any kind of creative work. But like you said, just the ability that you had to do it the way that you wanted to and the best as you could, the two of you that did the art on it, that is very excuse me, that's allows yourself to invest in the art yourself and be more happy with it.
Oh yeah. Well, that was definitely the case.
Yeah, so that's that, and I can tell because I want to talk about the kind of the artistic style and stuff in just a minute. But first, before we do that, we've been talking about Vessel, and I don't know, some of our listeners might not even necessarily know what Vessel is. So yeah. I mean, as far as the story goes, so in a quick synopsis, can you just give us kind of an overview of what they're gonna can expect for story wise?
Yep. Basically, Vessel is a some people call it steampunk style, but at least that was not the plan. I used to call it clockwork punk style when I started doing all the cogs and bits and bobs. But it's basically kind of game set up in this fictional time period, which would be maybe like, you know, if you go back to the times of Industrial Revolution, like, you know, late 1800s or mid 1800s, and imagine that there was like a huge discovery back in the day that allowed, you know, like by a single inventor, I guess, that allowed people to shape, you know, like a volume of fluid into a creature, and then program that creature to do like simple tasks, and then, you know, like industrial world realizing potential of such things, and then, you know, like utilizing that creature as a tool in the production process, and then if you move that world like 10 years forward, so, you know, like if you go back to 1800s, and then instead of moving in the way our world started developing, you push it into that direction, maybe like, you know, 10 years, mm-hmm. you get the world of Vessel. The game itself, as a, you know, like it's a side-scrolling platform puzzle game. Interesting thing about it is instead of, you know, like you use your character to solve puzzles within the world, the game engine is pretty robust, and it's, you know, like, I haven't seen many games done the way we did this one. It's pretty interesting. Like the engine itself, first of all, we use like fluid physics within the engine to move fluid particles around the world. We construct creatures out of those fluids, and those creatures are kind of crucial characters in the game. The game itself also, they say it's a hybrid style. It's basically a 2D game with normal maps hidden within within the textures of the world, so we can have dynamic lighting inside the game. Mm-hmm. So the game is dynamically lit. It's a physics created world with fluid simulation. As a player, you basically, like, you side scroll through the world, you come across the problems that you have to solve and fix so you can progress through the game further. It tells the story of the Professor Arkwright, the inventor of the creature. So the world 10 years later, after he created these little guys who are used across the world, starts changing. You know, like, progress is booming and the world is moving forward and you know, like, great profits to be made all the way across. But what happens, these little fluid, simple, like, little fluid creatures, they're like, really simple in a sense that they only do one thing each. For some reason, within those 10 years, they started mutating and changing, and they started evolving in some sense. And they started disobeying or behaving in different ways than, you know, like, what originally programmed to do. So, yeah, like, as an Arkwright, as the Professor Arkwright, you move into that world and you start fixing the problems. Okay, and that's the basic premise of the game.
Okay, cool. So it sounds, I played the demo of it, and it's really cool. I really like the liquid engine that you guys use, the water engine, or I guess it's more than just water. It's liquid. There are different kinds of liquid, right?
Yep.
From what I've played of it so far, I really like the style of it. I mean, the puzzles are really cool, and it, like you said, I've seen very few, if any, that are really, really like this game at all. I think that's a good thing, because not only is with you, the way you guys did the art in it, and the artistic style of it is really cool, but the way that the game plays and the physics engine, it works really well, and it makes it it's just very smooth, and it feels really cool to play it too.
Yep. We just, as far as I know, we just checked the thing we could spend least time on, unfortunately, was the animation system. There was, because Strange Loop game team is split all over the world. So we have we have people in Australia, and we have people in US, and then we have, well, by people I mean like two people. And then there was a sound engineer who was in Canada, and the sixth member of the Strange Loop. Well, basically, Strange Loop Games is four people, and then we used two friends and contractors that we knew from before to help us put the sound in and do the sound engine. Kieran Lord, and I'm horrible with names. Crap, he'll hate me for it. Leonard Paul, he was the sound engineer. And we used the music of John Hopkins. It fit the mood really well. It was actually like a perfect fit.
Who is absolutely amazing. Anyways.
Yeah, it works, and it helps convey the atmosphere that we really like mm-hmm. wanted to go for. So, sorry, what was the question?
I don't remember, to be honest. Yeah. That's all right. This is we're just having a good time talking about it anyways. So as far as like the any kind of artistic influences, is there anything that you saw in, even not necessarily in gaming, but in media, or that you kind of were like, oh, that's kind of cool, that would kind of fit the style that we're going for?
Funny thing is, I tried, you know, like, trying to come up with something original is a, like, it's really risky situation to put yourself in, because people are comfortable with familiar things, you know, and I was just having a discussion with a friend yesterday about Facebook games, and it seems that within the Facebook games, there's a particular style that everybody goes for, but it also seems to be a particular style that the only style that people seem to like. So if you look at most of the successful games on the Facebook, they're kind of, you know, like clones of each other. Mm-hmm. With Vessel, my thing is I come from kind of like as a player of games, not as an artist or a maker of games. I mostly play 3D games, like, you know, open world, or, you know, like, basically 3D games. Mm-hmm. So working on a 2D game, initially when I was talking to John, about joining Strange Loop, that was one thing that I wasn't comfortable about, because I myself didn't play many side-scrolling games ever since the days of Mega Drive and Sonic the Hedgehog and, you know, those things. So I, again, going back to the situation where working for the big companies, you know, like every piece of artwork that you do was really scrutinized, and everything had to fit existing kind of, you know, like popular scene. Mm-hmm. So whatever we were designing in big studios, we were always trying, except, well, the Straw Humans, the first two games that we worked on was a different story, because we were given a lot of freedom, so we could play within the realistic style. But when I joined Strange Loop, when I started doing it, I actually didn't want to look at anything. I knew that at the end of the day, people will be comparing it to other things, you know, to make it familiar. But in all honesty, I guess the only influence is, it was kind of, really, I'm kind of lingering all over the place now, sorry. But it's interesting that technology could do so much. And then within that technology, we wanted to have dynamic lighting and all these things to get better mood and to create general mood of the whole game and various environments within the game. So we had to have normal maps. So it had to be some sort of like a hybrid-y, you know, like 3D style, but there's not a single 3D asset in the game. They're all like hand-drawn 2D things. So trying to cater for that need, and at the same time trying to come up with something that I can live with, I guess, were two things that we had to put together and get the final style and also feedback. The only people I was trying to make happy was the four of us. We didn't really have, you know, like usually with big games, you go to like, you get like a focus groups and, you know, like you research your target audiences. And I was, you know, often sick of the things that, you know, like a marketing department would be asking us to do, because, you know, like teenagers, you know, like, for example, you know, like teenagers are the main audience. They like this and that, make your character look more like that. And that's, you know, like, but in the process asking you to sacrifice, you know, like whatever, you know, like artistic integrity you had, so you please the most number of people. But with this one, we didn't have that problem. We basically just, you know, like every time we were doing stuff, I would do like environment sketch and send it around. And if everybody was happy with it, then we would proceed and, you know, like turn it into like a final art and put it in the game and see how it looks. The other thing with Vessel as well, when it comes to art, is that in the process of putting the game together, first step, John Krajewski was the game designer on Vessel. So first step would be that he would build the entire kind of level of the game using placeholder art, which is these just like a simple blocks and squares. People probably have seen it, you know, like on the videos of, you know, like indie developers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Even there's like even cool videos of Bride, you know, that show programmer art. Mm-hmm. So he would build the whole level from these little blocks and make it functional. So all the spinning things and turning things and churning things and little floors and all these other things would be in there. But they looked really crude. They were just like basically physics blocks and, you know, like terrain pieces. Mm-hmm. And then once he puts that together and he play tests the whole thing, so you can play from start to finish and, you know, like all the puzzles work, then the entire level is checked in, and then I pull it on my on my PC here and I start dressing it up. So each time there was no, like, you know, nobody ever has full freedom. So whatever was given to me was what I had to dress up with art. And then I would start, you know, like figuring out, you know, like this kind of terrain, we will use these bits and bobs of artwork that we have. And you start putting them on top of each other and, you know, like pulling it all together. Interesting thing about the game as well is it actually has 250 layers of parallax. incorporate into the engine. So we have, if you imagine it as like sheets of paper on top of each other, like a little slices, gameplay area is just like a one little slice of the whole thing in a single plane. And then between the gameplay area and the camera, there's basically 50 different layers that you can place things at, and when the game starts moving left and right, those layers start moving at different speeds. Mm-hmm. So also figuring out what to put and where and how to make it kind of, you know, like get that once you start moving and once the camera starts moving, you start getting that kind of depth of the game, and making sure everything is placed there. It was a lot of work.
Well, I can tell you it was definitely worth your work, I think, because it looks really, really good.
Yeah, well, it was work of love, that's for sure.
And you can tell in the game itself too. I'm looking forward to. I'm gonna hopefully pick it up in the next few days because I want to play through it. I really look forward to playing through it. I really enjoy puzzle games, and this is a very different style of puzzle game. So I think that's gonna be really cool. So I think that we've covered the story and artistic stuff about it. So one last thing I usually like to ask my interviewees about, it's not that to do with the game necessarily itself, but you mentioned that you play video games, because I asked one developer before, not in an interview, and they said that they actually didn't play a lot of games. So as far as your gaming, what kind of games do you play, and what have you been playing lately?
Yeah, well, it's funny thing is, you know, like, I guess it happens with all kinds of professionals. When people say they don't play many games, it's probably because, you know, like, we've seen so many game guts in our careers, and we have seen, you know, it's like, I don't know, you know, like working at some restaurant and then, you know, like seeing a piece of meat fall on the floor and then being picked up and, you know, like fried again or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, like we've been putting games together for the last 10 years. And, you know, when I was working in the animation industry before that, you know, like that I mentioned before, thing was, I would go to the movies and I would watch a movie, and all I could see in the movie were all those like flaws and mistakes and, you know, like poor CG and, you know, like all that stuff. And so the same thing is with the games. It's, you know, like if you spend too much time working in the games industry, once you pick up the game and you start playing it, all you can see is pretty much, you know, like you instantly recognize what has been hacked and what has been kind of forcefully inserted in the game. And, you know, like, so it's really hard to immerse yourself in the experience without having that kind of judgmental eye that you acquired by working in the industry. I used to play much more games before. I still play games. I, you know, like, apart from Vessel, I'm a huge fan of Zelda series. Mm-hmm. So Skyward Sword was the last big game that I've played. I'm also, like, I really enjoy Team Ico. You know, like Ico and Shadow of Colossus, and I'm really looking forward to The Last Guardian whenever that one comes. Mm-hmm. I played Limbo. It was an awesome game just recently. So, you know, like that kind of, I'm very kind of, for me, playing games is a very intimate experience, you know, with one exception. So I like, almost like, I don't like playing online stuff, and I don't like playing with other people. I just enjoy, the other reason for that is I'm really clumsy when I play games. So, you know, like, it's kind of, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of other people when I screw up and, you know, like do all these wrong and bad things while trying to solve things. So, yeah, Zelda, Team Ico games, God of War, Limbo. When it comes to online games, my kids got into Diablo really fast in the last couple of days. But I didn't try that one. Last online game I've played was a, what was it called? Warhammer Age of Reckoning. Was that the one? Electronic Arts one?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. I've heard of it.
Warhammer. Yeah, I think it's Warhammer Online, Age of Reckoning.
Yep. Yeah, I just looked it up.
Yep, that's the one I really enjoyed. I tried to get into Warcraft and like World of Warcraft and things like that, but I couldn't. But you know, like I'm to blame because I didn't have enough time to give it to kind of like get myself sucked in.
Yeah, it takes time with those kind of games to really allow yourself to get to the point where you can actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of good games in there that you're playing. So I'm glad that you're enjoying the game that you've been playing. And I'm really glad that you spent the time on Vessel and you guys over at Strange Loop Games decided to go in this direction because it's a really cool looking game. Thank you very much for being on for the interview. And we look forward to you guys' next game. And when you get to the point where you're ready to get it released, we'd love to have you guys back on.
Ah, definitely. No worries.
So thank you very much, and you have a great night.
So do you. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Interview with Q. Remember to check back every Thursday for more interviews with the developers of your favorite games. For more information on today's game, go to strangeloopgames.com. The Interview with Q is brought to you by bagogames.com. Your source for the latest gaming news, reviews, and more. Check us out at bagogames.com. That's bagogames.com. Thanks again for listening. Remember to check back next week for more of The Interview with Q. This is Q, signing off.